aboard, you people. This is the Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis up for another day of broadcasting.
A happy Friday for Blackhawks fans after their sixth straight win. How cool was that? You know, we are really almost at like 100% in terms of our appearances at the United Center and then the Hawks winning on that particular
day. We're 5-0.
This season.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Maybe even.
Jeremy Culleton won his first game after not the best start for a new coach. And finally, he sat down with us at the United
Center.
You
gave him a little pep talk.
Right, and then he wins.
You told him a couple things.
I knew they were going to win last night. This is how spoiled I'm getting now in this new winning streak. Is I'm like, it's too bad that they had to go to overtime and they had to give the point back up because they'd be 1 point away from Vancouver. They're 2 points away because Vancouver got a point last night too. So I'm just saying this is where the Hawks. I'm going to tell you this right now. What's the date today? Today is the 8th of February, the Lord's year of 2019.
Okay.
On this day, I shall tell you that the Hawks will be playing hockey in the month of June.
Oh, I'd love that.
Before this winning streak, they had to jump 7 teams just to sneak into the playoffs. At this point, they're just 2 points back of the Blues, who currently hold the second wild card spot. Now they have to jump just 4 teams. So they've trimmed off about half of the competition there. So they're right there. They're in striking distance.
It seemed like such a tough challenge, even for this team and what we know they're capable of, just not that long ago. But look where they are. Congrats.
Yes, we're very happy
that is
for
awesome.
our beloved partners in crime, the Chicago Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. And they got to be happy, too. They got to be. Believe me, there was a lot of guys. There was a lot of yelling in the hallways over there. That's all I can tell you. Is that there was a lot of stomping around. All people in suits with their ties pushed all the way up to their necks.
Very nice suits.
Right? Very nice suits. And the knots are perfect. Mm-hmm. And they're all running around screaming at each other. And now it's sort of like, see? All right, calm down. It's all going to be okay.
Yep. Patrick Kane extending his point streak to 13 games. He's
very
on
happy.
Fire.
And they were given away last night. They were giving away the hat.
I love that hat. It's my new favorite hat.
It's amazing. It's a winter hat, which, of course, was very helpful, especially last night when the wind was howling. And it's from the Winter Classic. Mm-hmm. It's in black and white. It goes with their uniform.
Such
it's
a
really,
cool look.
Really cool. I like that black and white
Me
uniform.
Me too.
I would like to see them in that more. I'd like that to be their official alternative.
Yeah.
I can't wait for Sunday's game. Riding this momentum, you get the Red Wings in town. UC is going to be wild Sunday afternoon.
The mispronunciation of the word Detroit is just going to be overwhelming on Sunday.
Oh, that's great.
Right? I mean, that's just it. Yep. Basically, it is, you know, we move the emphasis on the syllable.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. We mispronounce the E. I mean, there's a lot.
Say something kind of bad after it sometimes, too.
Yeah. Well, it does suck, okay? It does. And I'd like to let Jeff Bezos know that, too, before he thinks about moving Amazon.
No, don't
now that he's getting out of New York because he doesn't like the deal that he cut, which is a little wacky. I'm not quite exactly sure what happened there, but
public
we'll
support
him.
Has waned as well. You've got lots of resistance that he didn't expect.
Right. What these people, they didn't want jobs in their neighborhoods?
No, they think what they're giving up in terms of taxes should be used instead for infrastructure spend. The Ocasio-Cortez crowd out there and then the council. They said that, you know, look, let's use it for the things to help the middle and lower class. So,
I like
lower
her
income people.
I like her plan, the new green plan that she's got.
Mm-hmm.
Where
took a lot of heat even from Democrats.
Yeah. Well, the plan is we're going to do away with everything that moves. It's the only way that you're going to be able to do anything is through, like Fred Flintstone, through the power of your own 2 feet.
Airplanes, get rid of them.
Right.
Trains, get rid of
trains,
them.
Cars, planes.
Cars are the enemy.
Right. Ships. Unless a ship can get towed by a whale, which is good for the whale because it's exercise. I mean, there's
your bikes, get rid of them.
Right. No, you can have a bike.
Okay, bikes.
You can have a bike. As a matter of fact, we just want everybody to ride on bikes.
That's true. More bikes.
We don't want cooking of things.
No.
Because there might be
no cooking?
Might lead to smoke in the air. It's like, okay, where did you come from?
Even Speaker Pelosi said, I'm sure a lot of people like the plan, whatever the plan is. Very dismissive. not on board. She's a lot of people to convince.
Yeah. Yeah.
Over in the other side.
Pelosi's gotten particularly good over the last couple of years while she was in the minority. She's gotten really good at being everybody's nightmarish mother-in-law, right? She's like, she always has something passive-aggressive to say. I'm sure the president wouldn't say that. I'm sure you're not going to wear that to dinner. You know, she's got a lot of that going. So that's good. So she's got that. And she's got to do that. She's got to get these kids in line. She's like the Queen of England, right? When there's always some young Trixie who marries one of the young princes, right? And they immediately got to let, you know, she's got to let them know, you're not going to wear that.
Put the pantyhose on. That's right. The protocol.
Right. All right. Okay. Okay. Young one here. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You think you're so hot. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're on the Insta chat or whatever the hell that is. Let me tell you something. All right. So that's what Nancy Pelosi is doing to AOC.
Right.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
She's in her house now.
Yes. And she's going to have to learn that people still want to have cars.
I like my car.
And airplanes. Because it's going to make international travel really tough.
It would.
If the whole idea is that you have to just get in the ocean by yourself and figure out how to make that
work.
Yeah,
how would you do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like a electric scooter, is that okay?
Yeah.
Or one of those hoverboards?
I don't think that's even allowed.
Those aren't allowed?
Because you have to make those. All right, we're going to check in with Ben Bradley, because he's got great thoughts. But first, let's find out from Kim Gordon what's coming up at the bottom of the hour from the WGN Radio Newsroom.
The second city may be getting a second chance for Amazon's second headquarters.
Pat Tomasulo explores love at a Southside no-tell motel. See a very romantic episode of Man of the People Saturday at 10 on WGN TV.
I think I know the one he's talking about.
The no-tell motel? Southside one?
Yeah, there was that one. It's on the way to Midway.
Oh, did you wonder, talked about that.
I love that. I love that hotel. Ben Bradley joins us right now.
I think they're renovating that thing.
I think they are.
Renovating.
I think it's the Players Club or something like that.
The renovation will bring it from like the 1960s to maybe even to the 1980s.
Yeah.
It should be. You
why
know,
bother?
I always wondered that people are like, look, I got a hotel in Chicago on, you know, name your platform.
Right.
It's only 1.7 miles away from the airport, which is great. It's like 4.7 miles away from downtown.
Uh-huh. Right.
And it's $29 a night.
It'll be perfect.
This will be great.
And as part of the renovation, you know, to kind of update the technology, they not only will accept quarters to put in the bed, but you can also use your credit card.
Do they really have the quarters? Do those exist anymore?
Nothing about nothing. I don't know.
All right. I don't want to know.
All I know, there are hotels that dot this fair city where you know that the drapes are being used as hand towels.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to know.
Well, there's a Lincoln Avenue corridor, I recall.
Oh, yeah.
There's been
a
couple of incidents over by there.
A couple places down on Torrance in the south suburbs, too.
Yep.
I mean, I've driven by them.
Yeah.
Although, I like the people who are the owners of the Heart of Chicago Motel, which is up on Ridge, right?
Yeah.
On the north, on the, you know, the far north side.
Uh-huh.
That's...
I grew up very close to there.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now that, to me, those guys are, those are the best investors ever.
Yes.
Because that neighborhood has come back to them. That neighborhood was lost forever. Right.
Oh.
And they've just waited, and now all of a sudden, they're sitting on a gold mine.
You know, whenever I drive by those places, and maybe it's the germaphobe in me, and I see the lady with, like, pushing the housekeeping cart.
Oh, you
and,
feel
you know,
for her.
They're always exterior rooms, right? So you can see it. And I just think, what has that poor woman had to endure?
Mm.
Oh, see. Well, I think that's true of anybody who works in a hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's
probably regardless
totally
of the star
true.
Rating.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes the worst. Well, imagine when Jeff Bezos gets there with his girlfriend, what goes on. I mean, I'm sorry, I know we're trying to get Amazon. I don't want to, you know.
We love Jeff Bezos at the moment.
Oh, boy. Yeah. How about the New York Post headline on that today? Did you see that?
No. What did they have? Would they play around with the
you know, the guy who runs the National Enquirer, who allegedly tried to blackmail
David Pecker?
Bezos.
Yeah.
Yeah, last name Pecker.
Mm-hmm.
New York Post headline today was Bezos exposes Pecker. God bless the New York media.
Yeah.
They got a sense of humor.
Yeah.
All right. You got a big story coming up tonight.
Actually, I don't.
All right. Then.
No, but
nice talking to you.
Thank you very much.
You sent me notes. What is the notes?
Well, I sent you just a note about, you know, kind of an interesting story, which is Metra has put out a request for proposal, which is essentially saying, hey, we'd like to do this. Who wants to bid on it? For an entire network of cameras for all its trains. So Metra wants to keep a closer eye on its riders, which, you know, of course, the CTA has been doing for years. But Metra does not currently have any in-car video surveillance system.
Oh, they should get that.
Yeah.
So they can watch guys having cocktails.
A couple interesting things, though, in the request for proposal. They're asking that the camera quality be good enough for facial recognition software to be used. I guess best case scenario, that means, you know, if the camera catches a bad guy doing something, they want to be able to have the camera quality be good enough that they can just upload it to law
enforcement. Well, CTA has that. When you see these CTA pictures coming out now, whenever something bad happens, it's like you could tell exactly who it is.
And it's helpful, right, in finding the people who terrorize commuters.
Sure.
It used to be a much bigger problem here in Chicago. The other interesting thing that Metra is exploring doing, and this is kind of an optional part of this potential contract, is to have the cameras able to count passengers so they can get a better sense of load factors.
They don't already have that? They don't already know
that?
Have
you not ridden Metra lately?
I don't ever ride Metra.
It's... Yeah, you feel bad. It is a pretty antiquated system. For a long time, whenever the trains were too crowded, Metro wouldn't even punch tickets because the conductors couldn't get through the train to punch everybody's tickets. They've tried to do a better job of that lately, but yeah, it's a pretty antiquated system they're using. They would say it's because they have not had a big infusion of state money in I think it's a decade.
I'm the exact opposite of Andrea Ortez Carrizo. What is her name?
AOC.
Where does the hyphen go?
Yes. I just drive everywhere. I drive across. Instead of walking across the street, I drive across the street. I sometimes, if the traffic's bad, I drive on the Metro tracks to get to wherever I have to get, trying to outrun the train.
Yeah, you're like, look at this, nice straightaway. Why is no one else using this?
Right.
Yeah.
I drive up here on the 18th floor of our fine new offices in downtown Chicago.
Beautiful studios.
I drive from my office to the studio. I have a golf cart that I take back and forth.
You remember that time a couple of weeks ago when you found me wandering on Lower Wacker Drive as you were headed into work and you offered me a ride and I got in? And sure enough, we wrapped round and round and round and round in that parking garage, and I thought you were going to empty out on the 18th floor.
Yes, I did. That's how that goes. It's an unusual parking garage we have. But I will say that I'm all for the car. And I know that the rails, I know it's important for the rails, it's important for Metro. But isn't Metro, isn't there like a board? Don't they have one of those phony baloney boards like the tollway does? Isn't that sort of a situation?
They do
like
have
that?
A board. I think they would quarrel with the phony baloney.
They might quarrel with that, but I'm just, I wouldn't.
I just think it's great that in this world of technology, we're going to have a space force and be sending people to Mars. Mm-hmm. That our solution for Metra is to light the tracks on fire when it gets this cold. I mean, I think that tells you the type of technology we're dealing with.
I got calls from all over the country about that.
I did, too. Yeah. They're like, are they really doing that?
It was one of the most stunning images of the polar vortex last week was the fact that the Metra tracks were all on fire in Chicago. And people were like, oh, my God, what are you doing? It was a Game of Thrones. It was like a dragon had just gone over the tracks.
I remember a bunch of years ago when I was at Channel 7 and there was a cold snap and we were in the meeting talking about Metra lighting the tracks on fire and, doing that story. And we had this, kind of crusty old managing editor. And he says, you're telling me trains don't operate anyplace else where it's cold? Maybe we could figure out the way the Russians do it in Siberia.
Yeah.
And we all looked at him like, oh, yeah, maybe there is a better way.
And how are they with potholes there, too? Can they do that in Siberia?
Yeah.
Putin has a plan. When Putin's the president of the United States, he has a plan for that. All right. Thank you very much, Ben. Appreciate it. We'll see you. You can see WGN-TV News at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10. Today and tonight, and Tom Skilling is going to be joining us right after 4 o'clock.
Nice.
Tell us about what the weekend weather is going to look like. But Kim Gordon standing by, she's in the WGN newsroom too. Yeah, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. There's a mayor's race going on here in Chicago. I don't know if people have noticed
there
this.
There is a lot of undecided voters and a lot of candidates to choose from.
And John Fritchie is our mayoral analyst here, and he is a former county commissioner, former state representative, many, many years in politics, and now an attorney in private practice, and a thought provoker, a man who has many thoughts about the goofiness of this. Bill Daley steps out of the Anna now has had the forum of record. Let's just be honest. It's the WGN Crane Chicago Business Forum. That's the only one that really counts. They had 9 people there. And
it was a lively, spirited discussion, and I think we pointed out a lot of differentiating characteristics of the candidates that night, because we kept them to the question, and they went back after each other a little bit.
And a couple times Anna had to go, do not make me come back there!
That's right.
I will pull this debate over!
See, I had the taser out.
That's why you want a mom to do these, though.
That's right. Moms know how to take charge of these moments. You're absolutely right. But thank you, John Fritchie.
Taser, Willie Wilson. Look at that! Ow! Look at here!
You did not answer the question.
All right, so let me ask you this. Last night, Bill Daley doesn't show up. Speaking of Willie Wilson, I think he seems to be this is a natural forum for him. I think that people are going to be surprised at the number of voters that come out for Willie Wilson.
You know what? I think people who saw his performance last time won't be that surprised. He was always, I think, in my mind, considered to be about a 10% candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And 10% puts you right in the mix right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he might be more. Does he get to the final two? I don't think it's out of the question. I would have said 6 months ago it was out of the question. I don't think it's out of the question anymore. And then why does Bill Daley drop out last night? What's your take on that?
Yo, that's a real interesting question. I mean, he picked up a big endorsement with the plumbers, but he had to know that was coming. They could have rescheduled that one. Whatever his reason may have.
He said he had to go to the plumbers hall for that, right?
Right, but that could have been redone. And unfortunately, sure. It came out, or curiously came out the same day that he had a negative story about his insurance exam way back when.
That counts? Because that goes back to the 1970s, right? That insurance exam?
Well, but what happened, though, is the insurance exam could have been the story, but the far bigger story was that he ducked out on the debate now. What you're going to see these next couple of weeks is all of these candidates are going to take hits from everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Now's the time where you can't afford to hurt yourself by saying or doing something stupid. Stupid might be a strong word there. I think it was a bad decision. It's bad optics for him. Interestingly enough, he may give more attention now to those second tier candidates who are in tonight's debate that I guess is going to be taped and shown later.
Right.
So it will be him with, Amara, Lori, some of the other folks.
He's going to be in there.
Correct. He's going to be there, and that may increase exposure for all of them.
Because the question is still the question. Yeah, what was that all about from back in that? Again, it's 40 something years old, this beef about his insurance exam that he took, and did he get help on it and all that. And I suppose if people are going to drudge up yearbooks or whatever it is from 40 years ago or 30 something years ago, is that really fair game? Obviously in Virginia it's a very different situation. This is not an incendiary kind of a thing.
It seems, and
no one's going to debate whether or not Bill Daley's smart.
No. I don't think that's it. I think he's made it a campaign platform to say, I'm not a career politician.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. That's my brother. That's my dad. But I'm a businessman who's been able to understand the world of politics and merge the two. And I think what his opponents would say is that this is just an example of the kinds of old machine ways where you guys help each other, but you left a lot of people out of what's going on in the city.
And that's just it. It wasn't about the insurance exam. It's about, hey, this guy is more, this is, don't forget, it's Richard J's son. It's Richard M's brother. And it's about recasting him or keeping him cast in that light. But mm-hmm. if you look back to say, which of these candidates have nothing in their past that are, to be ashamed of, good luck. Good luck having any of them there. So whether or not that's a legitimate hit is questionable. Preckwinkle trying to bring up, who Mendoza dated over a decade ago with no ties to any of that. That I think is an amateurish hit. But again, you're going to see these things come out of left field, and I think you're going to see a lot of hits still ahead that don't have fingerprints on them.
Do you have to go amateurish at this point? Because there's so many, you want something that is almost salacious because people will, it'll go viral?
I think in the climate we're in right now, that's not what people want to see. They're tired of this kind of playground politics. If somebody wants to stick out of the pack right now, come up with something substantive. Take on even a current issue that comes up on any other day and show some type of leadership, some
competency.
Type of vision, not like, you don't want to get into a he said, she said slap fight of some kind.
Lori Lightfoot, I thought, did that in your forum, Anna. I thought
what that came
she,
through.
Yeah, I what
people
I heard.
Said that.
What I heard was, she had that competency issue. Now, one of the problems with radio forum as opposed to a television forum is that when people are talking, there were so many, it's hard to you have to almost be able to guess who the voices are,
right?
And so,
But, and when they talk over each other, too, that was, yeah. that was difficult, which is why we had the taser. You know, that's why we did that whole thing. No, it's true. She really came through for a lot of people that night because she was calling out others in a very polite and respectful way. Madam President, you didn't return those donations from the Burks until 2 weeks later when the full spotlight was on you and we were all calling for it. You could have done it immediately. You could have done it sooner. And she was very respectful, but she was also calling out that in, I thought, an effective way.
Yeah. But gravitas matters. The style matters right now. And I think the folks that start flailing around are not going to be seen as serious contenders or somebody that the people want to be their next mayor.
You know, I find fascinating because this is like the first truly open, I would argue, and real horse race. I think going back to 1983, you know, I mean, you can go to 79, but 83 with Harold Washington, right? It was Jane Byrne, Harold Washington, and Richard M. Daley, right? And Harold ran away with it in the primary, because back then there was a primary and then the general election against Bernie Epton. And all of a sudden, a guy nobody ever heard of and a Republican, you know, had a shot because he had, you know, was going to be the first African-American male in Chicago, mayor in Chicago. And I thought it was fascinating because Harold Washington had, he had like the ultimate issue. He'd gone to jail for tax evasion. And said he'd forgotten to file his taxes because his birthday is on April 15th, and he was distracted. I mean, that literally was his excuse. And he goes on to be so seemingly competent and forceful in the debates, and he just wound it around Jane Byrne, who, you know, she's pretty articulate, but I mean, you know, she was simple in terms of the way that she went about that stuff. And Richard M. Daley was at a point where, you know, he still never was the most articulate of mayors in the history of Chicago. Mm-hmm. But it was the ability to make the argument that Harold Washington won on.
And that's it. It's not just the message, it's the messenger as well. And I wouldn't even argue that that was that open of a... an election because, listen, that there were very clearly racial lines being drawn, racial tensions in the city. This, however, we've discussed before, you know, you've got a flavor for everybody. You know, you want older, younger, African-American, white, Latino, male, female. Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, it
you
really...
You got a guy who's so white, he's transparent in this.
Right. You have a candidate who's suggesting forced police superintendents that represent the different races of the city.
Okay. I got to ask you. All right, let me just ask you a question. Yeah, I mean, you've been around this town a long time. I said to John in the late 1970s that one day he was going to be mayor of this city, and we were like mm-hmm. 10 years old when mm-hmm. I said it to him. I want to know this. Do you think it's a good Willie Wilson's proposal? Any of them make any sense, but does this one make sense that there should be four superintendents, one that is white, one that is black, one that is Latin, as he called them, and then one who's other?
Well, the other may be the most interesting one of all.
Could you get other, John? Are you other?
let's figure that. Yeah, well, John is kind of other. We're not sure what John is.
You know, and I've got a soft spot in my heart for Dr. Wilson, for Willie Wilson. The man's very well intelligent, and I still don't think he gets the credit for, you know, making himself what he is.
He's an incredible success story with a huge heart.
But that being said, some of his policy ideas may not be that well thought out. But
that's
listen,
a nice way
but,
of saying
but
it.
Here's an interesting thing. Yeah. You're talking about that because it was something different.
Yeah, that's true.
Standing out from the
and
pack.
It's the type of thing that people are going to realize. You know, I stood and, you know, scratched my shaved head for a while last night when he closes with a prayer. But you know what? It was among the more intelligent things that got said throughout the entire debate.
You know what? We always had him on the show during his previous runs for mayor and I think and president. Remember,
sure.
He ran
he
for president
here.
For a short period of time. And
we had him on, and then Trump came on, and we thought both of them maybe didn't have that much of a chance, but were very great interviews.
Yes, that's really true. But Willie has been one of those guys that, you know, he's been on the show a lot over the last 4 years. And he's always funny, he's interesting, and he likes to end with a prayer. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I think there's something very settling about that. And there's something also that's kind of, he is, even though he comes from North Florida originally and all that, but he really represents the, you know, the great African-American diaspora of from the South to the North. Mm-hmm. And it's a great... he's a great story.
Well, and it's genuine, and you can tell
it
that.
Is. Oh,
but,
yeah.
But here's what I think what you need to take a look at when it comes to the African-American vote. So when you look at kind of who the leading African-American candidates are, you've got Tony Preckwinkle, Lori Lightfoot, and we should talk about that endorsement, Amara,
And
Willie Wilson. Where do the African American community come out and vote from an age standpoint? Mara's trying to energize not just young African Americans, but millennials, across the spectrum, across the city.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a lot of the traditional voting African American communities that tend to skew older. And a lot of them have trouble, I think, identifying with Tony Preckwinkle. But I think a lot of them, especially with Dorothy out, and again, keep in mind, 2 or 3 points can make a big difference here. I think a lot of them are going to identify more with Willie Wilson and basically who he is, and that they can relate to that. Because, look, the reality is you still have whites who are only going to vote for a white, African-Americans, Latino, et cetera. So the African-American community, is almost being given a place to come home with somebody who they can identify with Willie Wilson.
Lori Lightfoot got the Sun-Times editorial board endorsement today, saying that she's best prepared to deal with the ethics and move forward and sort of merge the downtown with the people in the neighborhoods and make people all share in the prosperity and the future of the city. Were you surprised to see that she received that endorsement?
I was surprised about a couple of things. Number one, the whole preface that the Sun-Times set up with this endorsement was, gee, our new offices are in the West Loop. It's pretty. There's medians, all kinds of great restaurants, et cetera, et cetera. But nothing's being done to spur economic development in underserved communities, such as a newspaper opening their headquarters over there.
Right. Is it right? Yeah.
Once you got past kind of that inherent contradiction, it was a very well thought out editorial. And the one thing you'll notice about Lori is, with all the mudslinging that's been going on, nobody's attacked Lori's credentials, her history, her ethics, etc. And there's something to be said for that. Now, all of that being said,
I want to say something though. To this point, though, the editorial board, it shows that editorially the Sun-Times is still independent from its ownership, which is very important.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Because I thought for sure,
absolutely,
they were going for Tony because it's SEIU's got a big piece of that newspaper,
and all the unions are supporting her with the money.
From that standpoint, it's got to be stunning for listeners who don't know this. SEIU and some of the other organizations in labor are the ownership of the Sun-Times now. Yeah. And SEIU and AFSCME and some of other labor have provided, I think, about 90% of Tony Preckwinkle's campaign fund.
Right.
So for them not to go with Tony, the editorial board really does deserve a lot of credit.
Sun-Times had a great couple of weeks here.
Mm-hmm.
They're showing that they are not only still vital and relevant, but they're also they're the Sun-Times that we grew up with. They're still our Sun-Times. The Sun-Times, it's the same.
Sun-Times
Daily News.
Call themselves?
Yeah, I think that's a little. Yeah, I get what they're going for there, but I want good journalism out of the newspapers, and I want to trust that they're not going to be dinged up by some sort of other agenda.
And I think that editorial goes a long way towards getting that credibility back to them, to whatever extent they lost it. At the risk of talking about the mayor's race, though, with Lori's endorsement, I still don't see, and no disrespect to her, I don't see a path for victory to her. I don't see where she cobbles the votes together to get from where she is in the polls to where she needs to be. So if that's the case, now what you can say is, if Lori's going to pick up 2 or 3 points from this endorsement, it's a big chunk, but she's taking those away from somebody. Maybe some of those are coming from undecided voters, but the rest of those votes are coming from somebody. And so any of these second-tier candidates now, and that sounds like a derisive term, it shouldn't be, but any of the ones who are polling lower, when they start to pick up any ground, the first question needs to be, whose ground are they taking? And that's what's going to be very telling as we go down this final stretch.
Still wide open.
I wonder, as you see all of the investigations with corruption and ethics and reform being front and center in these weeks leading up to the election, it seemed as if that was one of the things that drove the Sun-Times endorsement here, saying that she's one of the people best equipped to handle that. And I wonder how the next polls before the election will show that voters care about that, and that may change their minds or sway them in one way or another.
Got 10 seconds here. Matt Whitaker.
I think corruption is going to be an issue. Voters need to remember that aside from the mayor's race, a lot of these ethics issues are going to be taken on by city council, and there's aldermanic races going on, too.
Look, right in 10 seconds. Thank you, John Fritchie.
I thought he was going to say, I don't have to answer that question. My time's up.
Officially,
like
your
Whitaker
time's up.
Today.
If he's the official mayoral analyst of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here. All right.
Thanks, John.
Check is in the mail. All right. Let's check in here now with Kim Gordon, find out what's coming up in the news at the top of the hour.
Roe, could Chicago become the new prime spot for Amazon's second headquarters?
Rocancho with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. Tom Skilling, brought to us by Permaseal Basement Systems, joins us right now.
Happy Friday, guys.
Happy Friday.
Thanks, Anna.
I heard you say the word sunshine, and I just held on to that.
Do you know this is the first day in six that we've had sunny skies here? We went through five straight days without so much as a ray of sunshine. So it was nice to see it today, even though it was awfully cold.
Right.
And the winds have continued strong, but they're starting to fade away now. So we ought to have a much calmer day tomorrow and start the weekend off with sunshine.
See, now that's nice.
Isn't that nice?
See, that's nice.
Yeah. And you know, Ro, with that the lighter winds in that, late February sun, the combo will start showing how, the sunlight is beginning to affect the cold air and the way it feels to us. So,
we are having, I did the calculations. You know, I do this. I do calculations all the time.
You run the spreadsheets.
I do of what the sunlight, the sun angle right now would be similar to that of Halloween.
Yeah.
Right around the Halloween week.
Yes.
Would be where we would be. You got to go. This is my plus minus days calculation. Mm-hmm. It's days plus or minus from the winter solstice. Right, so from December 20th, essentially, and so now you're back to about October 31st, and then tomorrow, in another week, it's the middle of October, stuff like that. So you kind of just watch the sun angles get longer, you see the sun get a little higher in
the
sky,
true.
And it is warmer. I will tell you, it is you could feel it already, and there's the sun's got a little bit of a linger to it, which I like.
Yes, I absolutely agree. Well, 20 days to meteorological spring and 40 to astronomical spring now. So that's pretty nice.
Yeah, I'd say so. It's fine.
That sounds really close.
And we're getting through.
Ro, if you looked at the energy that sunlight is delivering, it's starting to come up as well. So, it's the sun angle, the fact it's more directly overhead, it's up in the sky longer, it's trekking across the sky higher and higher with the passage of time. It all contributes to that warmer feel that you...
So tomorrow, though, you still say it's going to be 25, though.
Yeah. Yeah, compared to 13 today, that's a big improvement.
That's double. That's double right there. Again, it's two for one. That's what you're getting.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get, it'll be 25, but with calm winds.
Numerically, it's double, yes. It's not actually twice. But
you know what I mean.
Yes, I do.
So you get the, with a calm wind, and if you're in the sun and it's sunny, it's going to feel a little warmer than 25.
That's true.
You know, it's...
We'll have a light east-northeast wind developing during the day tomorrow, but it'll only be running about 4 to 12 miles per hour, so... Yeah, you're right. It all contributes to a warmer feel.
It's going to be 80. Don't tell me, June. I hate when you say that. Hey, what is the situation with next week, though? Because we've got two weather systems coming at us.
Yeah, very, very active pattern. And it has to do with the fact that the coldest air is taking up residence and will hold for the next 2 weeks through the Dakotas and Montana with its the flank of that cold air mass running down through the Rockies and into the Midwest. Now, the southeast, this is a great time for a Florida vacation because exceptionally warm weather is expected there during it. But there's a storm track that develops, dives down the West Coast, comes across California, and then wends its way up into the Midwest. And there's just a whole succession of systems. We count six of them still on the model runs. One will be in Sunday. It's a light snow system. The Tuesday system looks like snow or a wintry mix, might even mix with some rain at times is the current read on it. But stay tuned because these tracks of each of these systems will be all important. Then there's another one Friday and a couple in the week afterwards. So it's an active pattern. We'll have regular disturbances going through here, but there'll be breaks between them. And the coldest air will
anything I have to worry about right now. If I had to panic about something, is it because I see that right now you're tracking something around Tuesday, something around Thursday, right?
That's correct. Tuesday and Friday, yeah.
Tuesday and Friday. So there's like two guesses around that.
That's right.
So anything big in those that I got to worry about?
It's a both are respectable looking systems, particularly the one Tuesday. And then there's one early next week that looks kind of impressive in the terms of
intensifying.
Yeah. Yeah, but
you mean like the like Monday, like like in the 20s, like the 20th?
You're talking about temperatures?
No. I'm talking about, are you looking at three systems over the next 10 days?
Actually, six. Six over the next 15 days, yeah.
Six over 15.
Yeah.
See, there's so much math on this show
I know. We get lost in our numbers.
Is there one that you look at? This is what I'm trying to get to.
Well, I'm looking at Tuesday, and I'm looking at one early the following week. Those are the ones to keep an eye on.
Okay.
And there's another one late in the period. Now, you know, as we get farther out into time, you get out into fantasy range.
Yeah.
But just it actually makes quite sense that we'll have a whole series of these things, because when you plant cold air where it's going to be and warm air where it's going to be over the southeast U.S., that puts us in the middle, and that's an active storm zone right there. And by the way, do you know they got 11 feet of snow in the mountains of California? They're now at average now for there, and they get about a third to a half of their rain, their water in California comes from those Sierra snows. So this is good news. I mean, you know, they need that moisture out there.
Although I did see the flooding pictures. Ellen was showing she couldn't leave her neighborhood because of the horrible floods in the that area just north of Los Angeles.
And they're going to be cooler than normal in this. You know, all the western cities, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Phoenix, these areas will all have temperatures below where they normally are in this kind of pattern. Whereas, you know, if you go down to Houston, New Orleans, Atlanta, Miami, Tampa, all those areas, even up into the Carolinas, will have by and large, above normal temperatures over the next 2 weeks, and will be slightly below normal. And by that, I mean anywhere from 2 to 8 degrees below normal on any given day, by and large. Except Monday and Tuesday, we get close to where we ought to be as a daytime average.
What's the warmest day you see ahead for us, Tom? The warmest.
All these questions. It's like a press conference.
Well, we're just trying to feel better.
Tuesday, I would say, with 35.
But there's snow.
Yeah, there could be snow.
The rain turning to snow or the mix. Yeah, wintry mix. It's what you wrote in your
that's
forecast.
Right.
Wintry mix.
That's right.
I hate that.
Yes, and it might. There could be some accumulation as that starts up, and then we may mix it up. But again, the track will be critical on that, and we'll get a better feel as we get closer to that. But we've got 25 tomorrow, 26 Sunday, 31 Monday, 35 Tuesday, 28 Wednesday, 33 Thursday, and 31 Friday next week. So you see, nowhere in there is embedded terribly cold air.
It's not terrible.
No.
How's your electric car been doing during all this extreme cold, though?
Very well. Very well. And I was interested to see that, Anna, because I wondered how it would run.
Well, there was that story that said that the electric car batteries can be zapped by up to 40% during the extreme, like the polar vortex time.
Wait till Alicia Ocasio-Cortesino finds out about this.
No, you know what? I don't see that. And I was interested to see. There's no question it's a little less oomph per charge, but it's negligible. It really is, mm-hmm. as near as I can tell. And we've taken it through a pretty good cold spell.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
So, sat out there, and it's been wonderful. And I've been anxious and happy to see that.
Right. That's encouraging.
Yeah, it is.
What we went through.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, enough about this weather.
We're talking to Tom Skilling.
You know what? I cannot wait to be out of the winter. It's like the winter does seem longer to me this year than it has seemed in the last couple of years. I think in part because we're getting whipsawed. You know, it's sort
That's exactly what's going on.
You know, you feel like you get the sense like a day like today is beautiful. It's cold, but it's beautiful.
Of course, when you average it. Now, February so far is running 5.6 above normal. January was slightly below normal when it closed. December was above normal. So far, the winter is running above normal in terms of temperature. But you're right. This, whipping all over the place on these temperatures, gyrations.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I get all excited? Like in January, you shouldn't really get a thaw like we got like the first day of February, like when that happened last week. It's like that throws you off at that point you're like, oh, wow, finally, spring is here.
But
it's not.
We programmed that in, Ro, just because we knew you were getting a little depressed, as were many other folks. And we thought, well, we'll program in a bit of a warm spell so that you realize that there really is light at the end of this, this tunnel, you know? So, and Anna, I think it's worked, don't you?
It's sort of working. I think it's going to get easier and easier is what my sense. after what we lived through, and as you look at what's coming, it just feels, you know, like we can handle. Even today, as brutally cold as it did feel, it just comparatively, I think your body was just sort of like, all right, I can handle this.
Yeah. Yeah, and kill the winds a little bit, as we will tomorrow. I mean, there'll be some wind, but it won't be near as strong as it's been, and put that February sun in there. You're going to see, even with the thermometer registering below freezing, that there's still some melting going on because the sunlight itself is more, intense. So,
I want to give something away then. If we're gonna keep talking about the winter,
that'll warm
people
up.
Let's do this. Yeah. Right now, be caller number 19 at 312-981-7200. You win a Sweet Alley's Valentine treat box featuring Sweet Alley's sweet and savory gluten-free baked goods. Sweet Alley's bakeries are located in Hinsdale and Glenview. Get to sweetalleys.com to learn more. And Sweet Alley, it's A-L-I-S. Sweet Alley's is how you spell it.
And see, Anna,
there are moments like this that you wish you weren't an employee, because that wouldn't be a bad thing to win, you know?
I know.
And we can't do that.
Oh, so. They're good. They're quite
Occasionally
good.
They come in here, and then, you know, we do sneak a brownie or two. They're really delicious.
Nice for the Valentine's Day, too.
That is. Yeah. That is. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
What do you got big plans? You and the dogs got big plans for Valentine's Day?
You know
what? Do you dress up your dogs for Valentine's Day?
No, but one of our little doggies is a little sick.
Oh, no.
I'm a little worried about him. Or her. And we just found out she's got a tumor on her spleen. And I don't know what that means exactly, but it doesn't sound good. And
is the spleen as useless in the dog as it is in the human?
I good question, Ro. That was my question, too. So we'll see. And they're doing, the blood work and all. So that's kind of sad.
How old is your dog?
Well, we think she's 10.
Oh, she's an adoption.
She's an adoption. And so, you know, that's not real old for a dog.
Oh.
And but it, it's sad. You don't like.
Yeah, it's terrible.
She just hasn't seemed on her game in recent weeks. And that's why we took her in. You know,
it's interesting. You can tell that, right?
Yeah,
that's an amazing thing with dogs.
It's sad because they can't tell you I'm not feeling well.
Yes.
You have to, but you see it through the behavior. You know, and it's so I'm a little concerned about this. This little dog was mistreated before we adopted her.
Oh,
we found
sad.
Out, and so you know, you just want to do everything to try and make up for the abuse that went on early in life.
And you do, and the technology now with dogs. And
have
to make a decision about, you know, what the... I know people sometimes have to make a money decision on this, but if that is not an issue, you've got a real opportunity here, because the medical technology with this is moving as quickly as it is with anything else.
It is.
Because their organs are basically the same as ours.
Yes.
So it's, they're mammals.
We you're right.
Part figured out, so... We'll just have to see what happens there.
Veterinary sciences.
And there are some great vets in Chicago.
Oh,
I know.
Some of the best.
We do. Yeah. We have wonderful vets here. I went to a wedding for my accountant, and his son became a veterinarian. And it's been interesting to follow, because as a young person, he had an internship at a local veterinary clinic in his teenage years. You know, that's a wonderful way in any line of work to get a feel for what you're going to do. And he ended up going to the University of Illinois. So when I attended his wedding, there must have been about 15 veterinarians in the his fellow classmates.
Good
I've never
to
been
know.
Around so many.
I'll tell you, that would have been bad, though, because I asked them questions too.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting around with them. I go, I know I'm not a dog, but
yeah.
I got this thing in the back of my throat. Could you just take a look? And
I know.
Is that supposed to be there?
Right. I don't know. Does that look funny to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ro, you know, being the way we are, you know, we're probably told to go to the vet sometime too.
Yeah.
Rather than the doctor.
Really true. Yeah, that's
equipped to handle whatever ails us.
Yeah, I think that's also true. All right, Tom, thank you very much.
See you guys.
Sir.
Have a great weekend.
You too. We'll talk to you Monday.
All right, you bet.
All right, there he goes, Tom Skilling. Let's talk now with Kim Gordon. What's happening in the newsroom at the bottom of the hour?
Ro, another woman has come forward claiming Virginia's lieutenant governor sexually assaulted her.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right.
All right.
Coming up on the other side, Mark McKinnon joins us from the circus. The what? I don't know. The wildest political show on earth. It's on the Showtime. He sat down with Hillary Clinton.
Oh.
we've got some tape. Is now, was Hillary, she prepared to be locked up? We'll find out. Because they're still, aren't we still locking? I can't remember.
I can't remember who we're locking up.
Are we locking Roger Stone up?
Somebody. He looks, yeah, closer. Closer to that possibility.
I like that guy who was testifying today. The
Mark Whitaker.
Mark Whitaker. He's the
acting
temporary attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
The tag, as I like to call him. And he's a refrigerator. It is like, it's like watching him. Yeah, I mean, he's
after you said that, that's all I can think about when I look at him now.
He's a human refrigerator. It's like if you just pulled on his tie, his door opens up.
Yeah.
Very large man. He got a little angsty with some of the questions mm-hmm. that were being asked. He didn't want to put up with that stuff.
He was telling the people questioning him, your 5 minutes are up.
And he kept putting on his wife's glasses during the I don't know if you noticed that. It's like little glasses that didn't quite fit his ginormousness of his head and his body and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I was just really hoping someone would, one of the Republicans, because they were all asking him, they were all apologizing and asking questions that had nothing to do with anything. And they were, except for like their, you know, super like drudge related pet causes. And I was thinking to myself, I wish somebody would just ask him, so how much can you lift?
That would have been a great question.
Like if you could, like,
you spent some time in the gym.
Bench press. Like what could you do? You want to go to the gym together? All right. Let's check with Kim in the newsroom in 2 minutes. That music can mean only one thing. The circus is in town. Mark McKinnon joins us from the TV show The Circus, the best half hour of television, I think, any given week, anytime it's on, especially if you're into what's happening in the on the planet Earth, because it's pretty crazy stuff. Last week, first of all, you were all over the world last week trying to get the pieces together for the Sunday show, last Sunday show. We'll talk about what's coming up in a second. But you know, there were some weird moments with Roger Stone, right? Because Roger Stone had a press conference that was lightly attended by, like, the mainstream, like, you know, the major players weren't there live, but you guys were there, that InfoWars was putting on.
Right, wasn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they only invited, like, a select weird group of press, and I wasn't sure why who went. But there's an interesting component of that, and one is that after I did that interview with Roger, what I was trying to do is get into his head a little bit and ask some questions that people hadn't asked before. And to me, he seemed, you know, there seemed to be a side of him that looked, you know, the notion of prison looming is definitely on his mind.
Yeah.
But the more important thing, and the reason for that press conference, is he's trying to raise money. He's got $2 million in legal fees. The IRS is after him for $1.5 million. He owns nothing. And so, you know, minimally, he's in debt $4 million, and he's desperate. And part of the reason for that press conference is there was a bunch of, you know, GoFund, you know, RogerStoneDefenseFund.com, and he got really mad at me. He said we kicked him in the teeth because we blurred out the website, which we have to do for anybody. We do it on Kamala Harris's when she announced. It's just a legal thing with our lawyers on Showtime. We can't show any website that's raising political money. So, and he got really upset about it. But that also made me realize just that the whole reason he did that whole thing was to raise money.
Yeah. He did seem, he seemed very resigned to the fact that this is going to be a struggle and that he didn't want to go there when you're like, all right, hey, are you ready to go to prison? Because you were trying to get to the bravado of him, that whole notion with
right.
Roger Stone of like, you know, he's tough and he's going to stand up there and he's going to do the right thing and he's not going to be, you know, he's telling
you. He's going to be the martyr. He's going to be the G. Gordon Liddy. Yeah.
Right. He wants to be that. And then you got to that and he was like, listen, I don't want to even think about that. I want to think about positive things. And it was like, it was a little bit of a Roger Stone that we had not seen before. Although he still does dress like a Batman villain and I don't understand why he thinks that's a good look for him or that that's going to confer some sort of sympathy for him because it's not. All right, you got
right,
to Hillary.
You could be wearing that if you're trying to raise money.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
You got to Hillary Clinton, and this is interesting. How did that happen?
Well, just kind of out of the blue, really. Alex has a really good relationship with her, and we've been wanting to talk to her for a while. And so Alex saw some of her people a week ago or so and said, hey, listen, we really want to talk to her. And then we heard that she was in town, and Alex just emailed and said, hey, we're here, you're here, let's do it. And they said, okay, let's go.
I thought if you kind of, walk...
You know, I thought it was interesting because we haven't seen her on TV much in a while.
That's
and,
absolutely true.
So...
She's active on the Twitter, so but Alex, she's not necessarily, you don't see a sit-down interview with her all that often.
To go
ahead. And so Alex had a little interchange with her.
I just don't think you should call national emergencies unless there truly is a national emergency. There's no national emergency at our border. And he's frustrated because he can't even convince his own party to support his requests. And he shouldn't be breaking new ground and causing new precedents that... you know, really could come back to not only haunt him, but haunt our country. So he should go through regular order. He couldn't get Congress when he had Republican control. If he can't get it now, then work with Congress. Every Democrat, every Republican wants to do what is right to secure our border. They disagree with his demand that there's only one way to do that.
Okay. Is she prepared to go to jail? Did Alex talk to her about that? I mean, where are we on the lock her up piece?
Yeah, well, she may be, you know, thinking, watching all that's going on, that maybe she's not so upset that she's not there now, because she'd probably be going through the same thing with the Republicans, just, you know, that are good Democrats are doing to Trump. So,
yeah, that's true. I mean, are we?
What am I saying? She's a Clinton. Of course, she wants to be in the White House.
Right. That's true. But aren't you? Are you worried that we are now doomed to repeat this over and over and over again, no matter who the president is, whether it's?
Yeah, it sure feels like it. I mean, the Whitaker hearings today for this, you know, were just such a partisan food fight back and forth. There was no nuance at all. It was just everybody doing their talking points. It was just ridiculous.
And then, oh boy, there was some faked up emotion in that thing too, man. There were people who were just sitting there totally calm. And then when they got their 5 minutes, they were like, I can't believe what you just did. Or the indignation in the Republicans, like, I cannot believe the people would drag you in front of us. You know, exactly what Republicans have been doing when they were running the 3 weeks ago. That's what they were doing. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, one of the interesting scenes from the show for the Sunday is going to be John got with Representative Swalwell, who's on that committee, and really got behind the scenes with him and watched him prepare. And again, talked about the whole thing about, you know, I have 300 seconds. I'm like the, you know, the 18th person in line to ask a question, and just got some kind of interesting behind the scenes stuff about how that all works.
Well, it was funny because Swalwell gets stopped in the middle of his questioning, right at the very beginning. A guy did a point of order, point of order, point of order, chairman. And then when they were calling the point of order, the guy was like, well, if you would just ask a question instead of running for president, we wouldn't have this problem. To Swalwell, and you just, you're watching these guys. I know that we always say this, the House is the raucous, boisterous chamber, right, of the legislature, and so we expect it to be a little more, you know, cantankerous, but this is just stupid. I mean, first of all, they're asking this guy, the only reason they brought him up there was to see if they could get something out of him that would show that he was colluding with the White House, so, you know, to try to stop Mueller, because he's going to be out of a job in a week. It won't matter in a week what he's doing.
Great point.
So,
by the way, you are such a political nerd. You are actually watching these hearings.
I know. I couldn't stop. Mark, I got to tell you, I
you're a sick man.
I turned on the TV and was like, and I go, okay, I'm not going to watch this. I'm going to continue doing email and do all this stuff.
Telling yourself that.
And I just stopped and I could not. I got nothing done this morning because I'm watching this and I'm worried about the United States of America, because Republicans and Democrats only, now all I could think of is they just see themselves as blue or red. They do not see themselves as nuanced people. And this is a moment when John Dingell died, right?
Yeah.
John Dingell, who'd been longest serving congressman of all times. And they had apparently some sort of a conversation this morning. There was some sort of a memorial to him this morning about how he was a bipartisan guy. He was a Democrat, but he worked with Republicans on a lot of different things. He was pro-union, but he was also pro-auto industry and all that. And it was... And they, you know, we have to be more like that. I don't think we'll ever get back to that.
Yeah, he dictated some words to his wife just before he died that are now in the, I think, Washington Post op. They turned into an op-ed piece this afternoon. And he just talks about, you know, have the wisdom to understand the responsibility you hold in your hands. And he speaks exactly to that point, Ro, that you're talking about, the bipartisan sort of feeling of remember you're representing Americans and the things that you need to accomplish.
Yeah.
All those folks are going, you know, McCain's, the
the Dingles, you know, it's just, and there's nobody replacing him.
Yeah. Do you think Meghan McCain will, I mean, you're obviously very close. You were very close with John McCain. Do you get the sense that Meghan McCain is going to run for the Senate in 2022?
She might, you know. I just noticed that she's got that chromosome, so at some point she'd definitely like to do it if there's an opportunity, no question about it.
Yeah. She's definitely pugilistic like her dad, though. I mean, that's a funny thing. She like her dad, mm-hmm. there isn't a fight in the room. And she'll walk in. It's like going into the bar, totally calm, Fern bar, everybody's fine, uh-huh. Everybody's got Amex platinum cards, and she wants to go punch a guy and throw him through the window. And it's like, wait, this is not a saloon. Yeah. You know? It's like she just
she's ready
it.
To go.
She's like that. So it would be very interesting to watch. All right, so you got Hillary Clinton on Sunday in the circus. Any other surprises you can share with us?
Sally Yates, who's, you know, always interesting. I think she's a fascinating woman. She's got a lot of interesting perspectives as a former acting attorney general herself, mm-hmm. On all that's going on. So in Swalwell, we got Julian Castro and some surprises.
I think there are too many people that are acting like they're running for president. There are just too many.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm really uncomfortable the way that, especially with the way CNN is behaving right now. CNN is acting like every single one of these, like when Kamala Harris came out, they had to do
the countdown clock.
The countdown clock to her.
They did a town hall.
Yeah, uh-huh. to her town hall.
Right.
It's like they're trying to anoint people already. And I just, you know, let the process play out. I get it. It's television. That's their job now.
But you know what, Ro? You know what they told me? They said it's the most watched town hall they've ever done.
Oh, interesting.
I saw
which,
that.
Which really surprised me.
I saw that
stat. But it
stat.
Just testifies to how much interest there is in 2020 already.
Yeah. I think that that's all very bad news for the president. I really do. I think people are pretty tired of him right now. And they're like, what? What else is there? But we'll see. But Democrats, you know, Mark, you know this as well as anybody, as a, you know, as a Republican operative for many, many years. You get this. Democrats always can find a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
This week was actually the first time that I thought, you know what, he could win again. You know, when you got AOC and these people starting to talk about, you know, literally talk about socialism and give Trump that wedge.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth Warren.
For the first time, I was going, you know what, they could screw this up again.
Yeah, without question. All right, Mark, we'll see you Sunday. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, kick it hard. Thanks. Right. Bye-bye.
Mark McKinnon, see the circus Sunday on Showtime. Let's check out now Kim Gordon. She's in the WGN newsroom. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Ro, the word of the day on Capitol Hill, witch hunt. We'll tell you why.
Coming up, if a story matters, it's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. And Kim Gordon is there, and she's thinking about things that matter. We have a Carnival wagon that's about to roll. We got a top 5 of 5 you won't believe. We've got live music from Ask the Natives. Mm-hmm. I always do. Oh, and this is great. You know what?
What?
You know who the Carnival Wagon is today?
I just walked past it.
Oh, I heard there's an enormous amount of food.
We're in for a treat, folks.
Oh, I can't wait.
The Carnival Wagon is the entire city of Elmwood Park.
There's 400 bottles of liquor in our kitchen area.
Yeah. Oh. These guys know how to do it right in Elmwood Park. Elmwood Park is going to be... Elmwood Park... I believe will be the next Rosemont. I truly, truly believe this, and it is. They got a great restaurant row in Elmwood Park. So they're doing this Taste of Elmwood Park, an Elmwood Park Fest, they got a big restaurant week thing.
Oh,
that they're doing.
Love the restaurants in Elmwood Park.
Yeah, they're really good. Really, really, really good. So they're here, and they in Elmwood Park, they don't do nothing small.
No.
And that's exactly how they would say it.
Nothing. Over by here.
We don't do nothing small. I believe even the mayor of Elmwood Park is here.
How great.
Yeah.
He is a
hoot.
Mayor Saviano?
Yes, Mayor Saviano is here.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk to him coming up. All right. Let us now check in with Kim in 2 minutes. And did I mention that? Yes, I cannot mention that now.
What?
All
Why
right.
not?
I'm sorry.
Oh, Ro, you
I
can't
have
do that.
Just taken away from me.
What do you mean? It's not going to happen?
Yeah, well, something is not. Something there was a giveaway happened. That I thought we had for today. It's actually for Monday.
Okay.
So I was if I gave it away today, then I would be sued on Monday. Or so you know how that goes.
Yeah.
You know, people
you don't
get
want to mess up your Friday.
Very sensitive about these things. And a very special toast to one of our
member of the team.
One of our members of the team here.
Some exciting news.
Yep. Now all of that is coming your way, but first we've got the news in 2 minutes. Brokaw Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, we got top 5 at 5, and then the entire city of Elmwood Park is here celebrating Restaurant Week in Elmwood Park.
Oh, it looks delicious out there.
As Richard Roper said, when he goes, "Who's the Carbo?" and I go, "Elmwood Park." Goes, "Who's asking?" Yeah.
Exactly. Some fine Italian food, but quite a variety.
Oh,
as well,
not just Italian food, man. They have
the best.
They have everything there. Now in Elmwood Park, I mean, they do have amazing Italian food. They've been known for that, right? I mean, they got a couple of the great restaurants, great joints, if you will, in the entire Chicago area there for that. But they also have it really is something to behold. I'm very proud of what they did in Elmwood Park.
Oh yeah, expanding all the time too. Some interesting new additions we're going to learn about.
Right. It's not just Armand's Pizza anymore.
No,
it's Jim a and lot Pete's. Of things. Yeah, mm-hmm. Jim and Pete's, and that's
right?
Still there.
Still there.
But and great. They brought the fish salad over by Jim and Pete's.
Ah, love that. So. Love everything from there.
All right. Let us now continue on here. We got a top 5 at 5 you are not going to believe. And then we also have live music. I should mention that. And Mr. Roper is going to be sharing with us his review of kind of a twist remake, What Women Want, which is a remake of would you call it a remake?
Yes.
Straight up remake?
Yeah. It's just a gender bending, a gender reversal on What Women Want. Well, the Mel Gibson movie from almost 20 years ago, believe it or not.
What Men Want. That was a Chicago-based film.
Yes.
Right?
He played a Chicago advertising executive in that one.
Exactly. All right. Let us now move along to...
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number 5.
It appears that Hillary Clinton has come out of the forest now behind her home in Chappaqua, New York.
They've located her.
They've located her. She's come out. She talked to Alex Winter from the... Is that right? Yes. Right? Yes, Alex. What is Alex's last name?
Doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't.
The circus. At Wagner.
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 Yeah, that's right.
I think Alex Winter was in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Exactly right.
Could be the same guy.
Yeah. Alex Wagner from the circus.
And MSNBC.
And she also, Hillary did, she addressed the 2019 Makers Conference, an event that looks at accelerating the women's movement. And so what was her take on the rewriting of the rules that was planned for 2016?
You know, the tidal wave of women and young people running for office is helping to build an America that's not only kinder, fairer, bigger-hearted, but safer, stronger, and more secure. And as Speaker Nancy Pelosi, doesn't that sound great, has proved yet again, it often takes a woman to get the job done.
Mm. I really hope.
Oh boy!
I really hope that she does not think that she should be running again.
I feel
that's
like
that's what I hear.
There. You do hear that.
She's like Punxsutawney Hill instead of Punxsutawney Phil. And if she sees the shadows of the other candidates aren't that impressive, she's coming back.
I'm back.
No. Wait. Let's see if we can read some tea leaves here.
I've said for many years, and I believe more fiercely than ever today, that standing up for the rights and opportunities for women and girls is the unfinished business of the 21st century. Finishing that business is going to take all of us, innovators and entrepreneurs, athletes and activists, trailblazers and change makers, and also women and men. This is a pivotal moment. And altogether, I believe there is nothing we can't do.
Yeah, no, there's one thing you can't do.
I can tell you that right now.
Did you hear unfinished business in there, Ralph?
I did. I heard the words unfinished business.
Oh, jeez.
And there's one. And there, you know what? You lost to the one guy that no one could have possibly lost to. And a guy who was, I mean, let's be honest. Was it 3 weeks before the election? Mm-hmm. There was a tape that came out that said he was grabbing women by their genitals. Right?
Yes.
And she lost to him.
Wow.
Don't run.
Boy, the fire, though, in those words. Is she doing reading a book on tape?
I know.
On that's Valium? Did it sound like that? Yeah.
Exactly what it sounded like. It's like, oh, is this a prepared statement?
Yeah, and then Pooh went into the forest looking for his friends. He's already low energy.
Takes a woman to get the job done.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Democrats cannot figure out what to do here. I mean, you could run a point of purchase stand-up display of a NASCAR driver and beat Donald Trump right now, right? But as soon as Democrats start talking and start trying to articulate something, they start fighting with themselves in their own sentence.
Yeah.
Right? And she should not be the standard bearer. She should not be it. It is not that we're done. The America should be done. The Clintons should retire, resign. The Bushes, too, I think, to some degree. I mean, I think that's, they don't have as damaged, I think, a brand, but it's still, you know, I think it's time to move on. Now, Joe Biden, that young, spry Joe Biden is going to step up. I mean, you know, the Democrats are going to totally attack him from both sides. Oh, he's too old. White man, how can you do this, do that? Bloomberg can try to buy his way in. I don't know.
Chelsea Clinton? She's old enough now.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. It's like
Clinton Bush,
years.
But it'll just be Jenna and Chelsea.
You're saying Meghan McCain might launch a political career.
Oh, jeez.
I quite honestly, I'm thinking about running Liam Neeson right now.
Oh, boy.
He's not all that popular at the moment.
I know, and I don't understand why. I was having such a good week until I said that thing about the blockbuster.
Oh, my gosh.
We have some tape we're going to play for you a little bit later on.
Yeah,
we
found more.
We found some of the lost moments where he made references to this in his other fine work.
Oh, boy.
That reflect what he's already said.
Yeah. So we'll get to that.
Number four.
I meant to play this a couple of days ago, so I saved it till Friday. Sean Spicer. Again, another guy who just popped out of a gopher hole.
Spicy
was on Blaze TV. Blaze TV set up after the State of the Union in the lobby of the Trump International Hotel in Washington, D.C. And Eric Bolling, the guy who used to be at Fox.
Right. Yeah, on The Five. Wasn't he on The Five?
Yes, and he was ex parte of Fox News Channel after he had kind of his own set of issues and all that. So he was. They were just doing this big rally, rah-rah kind of rally thing at the Trump International Hotel, which, don't worry about the emoluments clause here, people. It's all fine.
He's not paying attention to it, other than asking Howard Schultz if he's paid his rent.
So he had Spicer over, he had Spicer over to the set to talk, and it turned out that Spicy may have had, and I know this because this has happened to me, may have had a cocktail or two when he was asked to present.
So you're good with him? You guys left on good terms? Do you still stay in contact?
I talked to him last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
About this?
He's
about
awesome.
The speech?
Yeah. Today? Yeah. He said, when are you coming back to the White House? And I told him, I said very clearly, Mr. President, I love you. I love this White House, but you're never getting me back.
I got it back. No.
He said very what?
No.
He sounds like a drunken teenager, like coming home from a high school party.
I hear Bolling down the hallway.
Yeah.
Spike, where were you? You were in a,
I had a client meeting, and I was yelling at you, and you barely recognized me. And you were like,
no, you're behind a rope. I'm like, what, Spice, you need? You like a velvet rope?
Yeah.
Like
velvet. I need velvet. I love velvet. It feels good. No, it's calling you. Look, I'm having fun.
Feel,
dude.
Feel free.
Look at that's good. Feel I mean, free. I never knew that Target had good clothes like that.
All right. So do we keep Sean for the tweets? Do we have any tweets? We have some pictures. Some Twitter pics. Can we do it? I know he's got to go.
That's good. I mean, Target.
Walmart. Target, yeah.
Yeah, Patriot.
Armani.
Oh, had to get that in.
Oh, wow.
Humble brag.
Man of the people. God. Man of the people right there. Couldn't let that joke go. All right, listen. It's Armani, pal.
That's
amazing. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez.
But I like it because you can hear, you know, he's up a half octave already.
Yeah. I said very clearly.
And when you see him, and the best part is watching him here. Is there one more? Do we have one more? I don't know, let's play a little bit more.
But I will say this. Look, Katrina offered some real serious and insightful insights into what the president said tonight, and she's been with him. She's actually, Katrina's been with the president longer than I ever have, and she understands what he's thinking. And
how does she get that?
It's not that she gets it. She's been with him. She understands. She's been on the train longer than I have.
You know when someone's drunk when they don't get the D out in understand.
Understand.
It's understand. You understand.
Well, this took place in the bar, right, of the hotel lobby.
I mean, he
didn't have an official role, he's enjoying himself.
And it's an internet show.
In the bushes.
Right. I know. But
here's my point. You had a previous guest, Katrina Pearson. My point is, she was with them from the beginning.
Like, you just said that.
I did it. Like, I don't, like, my point is, I'm agnostic. I wanted to win and beat Hillary. Katrina Pearson, who is on here just before I am, before I ever was there, hold on, just stop. Like, listen to me. She was with him when no one was with him. And, don't give me the...
I'm giving you a look.
Like, oh,
I'm giving
look.
You a look.
My point is that there are some people that were there from the beginning. Pay attention to her.
You know, there are people who are like human tear gas. And when they drink, right, they get like, start close talking you, and they just start talking like that. And that's what he is. He's human tear gas.
Oh, my gosh. There's that 5% of them that knows how bad it is. No, don't listen to me.
Yeah, I'm going to keep talking.
I would have asked them right after that. So what do you think of Katrina? What about her performance? Because we haven't talked about that yet.
I know. We got to talk about Katrina. She ain't the best. Here's my point.
Here's my point.
You know what? Guess what?
Guess what?
Guess what? I, you know, it'd be really good. A talk show with Spicer and
Dennis Rodman.
Yes, all of a sudden Dennis Rodman's name fell out of my head, and I'm like, I haven't had a drink. He made me drunk by association. Ear drunk right there from Spicer.
All right, that's amazing.
Would be really. It would be very funny. So guess what? And, hey, I got a point.
Guess what?
Did I mention this?
All right, let us now check in with Kim. What's happening at the bottom of the hour in the WGN newsroom?
The budget woes continue for Illinois.
And then there's this. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago, 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
All right, we continue on. We're up to...
Number three.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. R. Kelly is back in the news.
He is.
And I know it's Carnival Wagon's about to roll, and food is out there, and I'm kind of hungry, but this...
And this ruins everything.
Yeah. Girl, you're in the kitchen, cooking me a meal. Something makes me want to come in there and get a feel. Oh, no. Walk around in your t-shirt. Not the butter rolls. Oh, no, please.
He rhymes it, though. Give him credit. I'm on the phone. Turning up tomatoes, fruits and vegetables and potatoes.
Girl, you look so sexy. Why you doing a damn thing that I want? Sex in the kitchen. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh no, here we go. Put you on the counter by the butter rolls. Do not eat the butter rolls. You're at R. Kelly's house. Do not eat the butter rolls. That is not butter on the rolls.
Oh, no.
Butter rolls.
What happened to these rolls? Tastes a little weird.
Spicy, come taste one of these rolls.
All right.
My point is, this is not margarine.
Can I have another roll?
Oh, man.
Oh, it's good. What's your secret ingredient?
I think I've had these before.
Oh,
You guys.
Okay.
All right.
Turns out a judge had to hear the case of R. Kelly's studio that's really a home,
mm-hmm.
right? They're
but
not quite
not
sure what's going on
be.
There. Like, it's, and so what they did, somehow the city was able to get a settlement that they said was in their best interest, but it allowed him to continue to use business hours in this place all the way till 9 p.m., which is the time when he has to take his dates home anyway, right?
Because they got homework.
She restricted all residency on the second floor. She restricted access so people can't even be up there. She did allow them to use the recording studio under limited business hours. But she made it very clear to limit those hours so that nobody could spend the night and there wouldn't be any parties there.
Now, what's interesting is he owes $170,000 in back rent on the space.
Yeah.
And his attorney says that that's all going to get taken care of, and the bed is being removed by architects.
That bedding has been removed, so it's no longer in use as a bedroom area. However, the bed was so substantial that it was built structurally into the actual wall.
Isn't that a problem when you're trying to say that it wasn't used as a residence?
Yeah. One would think, yes. Because every good recording studio needs a bed. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, please,
I thought
no.
you needed a kitchen.
No.
You got any more of these rolls?
How big was that bed?
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I just said, there's like sweet and savory.
Oh, gosh. Get Dave Savini over there with one of those blue lights on that bed.
Oh.
Check out. I mean,
how big was the bed? It was like anchored to the property.
Yeah, but it wasn't used as a residence.
Futon.
Right, slept 16.
Oh, yeah. Golly, right. Or under.
Yeah, all right.
Allegedly.
Here we go.
Number two.
Oh, this is bad. Bobby De Niro. He did not have a good day in divorce court, so he's leaving divorce court, and he's. And this, they've been together a long time, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, wasn't he with his wife for? It was one of those. That's one Hollywood marriage that works. Well, no, it doesn't really. So he's leaving, and he's getting hoarded by the press because his car didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he called like a driver or an Uber or something. So he gets on the phone. He's being chased down the street, and he gets on the phone with whoever the driver is, and
must win. He can't, then he's in the wrong spot. We're standing right where he dropped us off on Worth Street. What the f***? Yeah, get him away. I don't care if they chase you away. You tell the officer, what's the matter with you? Where are you? You're not in front. You're not where you dropped us off. On Worth Street, then you'd see all the photographers out here. No, you're not where you dropped us off.
He's holding like the newspapers in front of his face so that none of the paparazzi gets a picture.
Right, they don't notice him there.
Right. I'm not here.
If you're like the driver, if that's like an Uber or a Lyft or something, don't you just pull the
one
car
star.
Up to the curb, leave the keys, and then just walk away as that driver and never go back to the car?
Yeah, you actually just throw your you go over a bridge and you throw your phone out so he can't ever find you again. All right, and finally.
Number one.
One of the most respected and versatile actors of his generation, Albert Finney, has died. A treasure known for his charismatic work on stage and screen, burst to international fame in 1963 in the title role of Tom Jones, playing a lusty, humorous rogue, captivating audiences around the world with his devil-may-care antics.
My grandfather was a clergyman. And he would have been very angry to have thought any of his family had taken up with Molly Seagrim's leavings. Why, Mum, the young gentleman is awake.
Yes, you have awakened him with your foolish chatter.
I feel awake for the first time, madam.
He went from that to Murder on the Orient Express.
Mrs. Armstrong gave premature birth to a stillborn child and herself died in the process. Her husband, Colonel Armstrong, once a brave officer in the Scots Guard, shot himself.
Aaron Brockovich.
Oh.
Because after careful consideration, I felt that figure was not appropriate. Although you may not agree, you have to trust my experience and
trust.
Judgment.
You want me to trust you?
And Ocean's 12.
Who is he?
He helped with the whole Night Fox thing.
What's his name?
His real name? I don't know, actually. I've only known him as Lamarck.
Lamarck? Where the hell have you been?
Waiting.
For what?
For this.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's one of the great scenes in that whole canon of film right there. All right. That's it for Albert Finney. What a beloved figure he was, and just an amazing actor. Albert Finney was 82.
The top five at five.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Leave me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here? I want one bourbon, one shot, and one beer. One bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it, I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
No, but I've made a career out of it, so it's working out okay for me. All right, the entire city of Elmwood Park, Illinois, is in the studio with us right now, and led by the mayor. Who's got a, he's got a sash on that says mayor, and he's got it's like a whole thing that's going on here. He's got the restaurants. He's got there's food, there's liquor, there's the beauty of Elmwood Park because it's the second annual Elmwood Park Restaurant Week. And Skip Saviano, he's the he's basically if they did not have a mayor in Elmwood Park, they would have invented Skip Saviano to be the mayor. Yeah, I think it's so the way, best way to put that. Would you agree, Skip?
Yeah, I do. I do. You know why? Because I grew up in the town. I've lived there all my life, raised my kids there. And after 20 years in Springfield, coming back and becoming the mayor is a real privilege to lead a town that you grew up in.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of pride in it. And we're doing a great job out there. I've got a great staff of people, my police department, fire department, my village manager, Paul Volpe, just a good, cohesive group of people who really care about the village.
I've noticed that you've also, there's a renewed interest, especially, the economy's been obviously going pretty well here for the better part of the last decade. And so this is the time to make hay, right, while the sun is shining. And you're seeing that, with you guys along North Avenue, like gangbusters now.
You know, we're taking advantage of a good economy, and we also want to reward our longtime restaurants in town who stuck it out through the hard times. So this is why I'm here today, is to come out and promote those restaurants, give them a little kick in the butt because they deserve it. They're hardworking.
No. Give them a kiss on the cheek, not a kick in the butt.
It's a pat on the back in some places. Elmwood Park, it's a kick in the butt.
Yeah, this is how they are there. I get it. So you started it last year, to sort of draw more attention to the restaurants, and this is the second year.
Yes, this is the second year because a lot of these restaurants now are reinvesting in their restaurants now that they're getting more revenues, and new restaurants are coming in town. And we have one restaurant. In fact, mine Leah met earlier. She's from New Star Restaurant, which has been in town 70 years, and they just spent probably $1 million in renovating their business.
Ooh, wow.
With putting hibachis in the back and probably increased their revenues 50%. So it's been a big success.
So you're doing like a whole Pan-Asian thing then, right?
Yeah,
it's not just Chinese anymore. You're doing the hibachi. You're doing the whole thing. Because right now it is so hot.
Yeah.
Asian food in terms of Korean food is hot. Obviously, the Japanese food is it's been hot for decades, but big. And then South Asian, right? Vietnamese and Thai. You can't go wrong. And you guys, I mean, the thing is about Elmwood Park is always, like North Avenue, you go to North Avenue, you go get Italian food, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go to, you've got some of the most legendary restaurants in the entire metropolitan area.
Chinese beef. And let's face
it. Over by Johnny's.
Yeah, over by Johnny's. You got
wet?
It.
You want a wet? Yeah, dip. Hot? I want a hot, sweet dip. There you go, right through the drive-thru like that.
They'll understand you.
And but don't open your mouth too much while you're speaking to them.
No.
Because you've got to save the muscle
the skill.
For when the thing with the
with see what comes out.
See what goes on when you get the, actually the beef right there.
You speak Elmwood Park.
Right? Oh, I do. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I just eat Elmwood Park. I do love your restaurants. So good.
We really are fortunate to have such a diverse array of restaurants, like the food we brought today from Jim and Pete's, just celebrating their 75th year.
How about that?
Wow.
We brought the fish salad from them.
We
brought Armin's Pizza, where Armin's began in Elmwood Park.
Right.
And then Donnie G's supplied the lasagna bolognese.
That's a beautiful thing there. Now, that's Donnie G. That's Donnie Greco, who was a downtown restaurant guy for years. Yeah. Restaurant and nightclub guy.
Yeah. Adagio, Misto.
Right. Misto, right on Grand Grand Avenue. And then, whether you liked it or not, he'd grab a microphone and start singing. And I don't know. Now, as mayor of Elmwood Park, did you have you made that illegal for him to do?
No, not give him a cabaret license? He has to do it.
Oh, God.
I don't give an entertainment license, though, because I want to save him a few dollars.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Mm-hmm. Put that in your pocket. Do something good for somebody.
Donnie is great. Donnie is fantastic. He an amazing, amazing nightlife guy. You know, right. In terms of like
he
creates complete experiences for people. Whether it's food or drink or whatever it happens.
And he's so pleasant.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's a great guy. Or as you like to say, Elmwood Park, good guy.
He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now this is going on for a week? Right,
15th to the 24th.
Okay, so it starts next week.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but people can go. I was just out in the western suburbs a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I got to go by Jim and Pete's. I just got to go by because it's like it's one of those places. It's been there for 75 years for a reason.
That's right.
Yeah. And when you go,
and you remember when you
got to
endure back.
Through a lot to yeah. last that long. That's amazing.
And you walk in and I think it's true. This is true of all the great joints in Elmwood Park. You got. You know, families that are there because mm-hmm. the prices are great. The food is always going to be plentiful food.
Mm-hmm.
You got families sitting around a table. You got an older couple that's probably been going there for 50 years, mm-hmm. right? That's sitting there and they're doing their Friday night dinner.
Right. Multiple generations of families that go there. They've been going there for years.
Right.
Well, here's a nice thing, too, with those dates, February 15th through the 24th. So a lot of guys out there can go, honey, I didn't forget Valentine's Day. Listen, we got restaurant week coming up. We're going to take it three times between the 15th and the 24th. The 14th is for amateurs.
It doesn't matter.
So you
got
your built-in alibi here, too.
Who wants to go out on
your
a Thursday? You're
made good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you mean tree times?
Tree. Isn't that what you mean?
One, two, tree. Yeah.
Yeah, and ironically enough, the 15th is our sixth annual fight night, too. We do amateur Golden Gloves qualification fights in our parks and rec.
In the parking lots. I thought it was going to say. Which I know, Skip, you've been doing that for years, too.
I was in that Golden Gloves. It was 3-1 in the ring, 0-2 outside the ring. We're in the Cobra Kai out there in the parking lot, and things didn't go too well. Hey, the gloves are off now, pretty boy.
Oh, we can't forget we days. Brought cannolis from Joey Farina.
I love those.
Yes.
So we got
Joe Farina. Let's see. Now, where have I heard of him before?
Yeah, that name.
All right.
Take the cannolis. Leave everything else.
Yeah. Now, wait. We interrupted your plug just to make fun of you about the fight night. What's happening with the fight night?
This is our sixth annual. So we have these young kids that need qualifying fights to get into the Golden Gloves.
Right.
And we started 6 years ago. It's been a tremendous family event. Women, children, men, everything. And it really brings the community together in the middle of winter.
Ironically enough, yes. Yeah. Guys beating the hell out of each other brings the community together. But and men and women, right? Because you got women boxers
Women
there, too. Yeah.
How about that?
It's a big deal now. Okay. That's a big deal. And where is that at?
At the Elmwood Park Parks and Recreational Center. Okay. It's right in the Village Circle.
Got it. Oh, man. It is. You know, it's funny. It is interesting, too, Skip. Don't you find this as mayor? That it's a town that when people get older and then they move, sometimes they move into the city, but they move back to Elmwood Park.
You don't find that
in every community, right? Mm-hmm. People leaving, they just don't want
to
come back.
I'm an example of that generation. Tons of my friends left and moved to Bloomingdale or moved out west. You know what? They're all moving back to town.
I keep hearing my friends who are from there want to go back there.
Yeah, because
their family.
It's close.
Close proximity to the city. Yeah. It's a win-win. You could be in Oak Brook. You could be anywhere downtown in a matter of minutes rather than be sitting on the Eisenhower for, an hour and a half from Bloomingdale downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So we see a lot of them coming back.
And North Avenue is a great sneak.
Yeah.
If everything is jammed up, which it often is, just take North Avenue and you're in 20 minutes, you're in the city.
Grand Avenue, too.
Yeah. Now, but Grand Avenue confuses me because it goes the wrong way at some point. And it's sort of like, wait a second, I thought it was an East-West street. And they're like, no, it's not. It's North South Street. Wait, what's it doing? Why am I here? But you know what you also have? There is an opportunity, too, in that along North Avenue. That's just east of Elmwood Park, too, is you got, there's a lot of space out there that could get developed. And it is amazing to me what the opportunities are for that little economic region right there is going to be something.
Yeah, well, like they're going to be redeveloping Maywood Park Racetrack. That'll be coming down, and that'll probably be a mixed use of retail, industrial, and residential. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, that or White Sox going to build a park there? What do you think? What do you think, Sip?
I'm a Sox fan. I'd love to see it.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because there's there's talk. I remember the Bears were talking about building a stadium. That's the site right there.
Yeah.
Right? Because you had
it's a lot of property.
You had Kitty Land on one side, and then you had Maywood, and it was always nice. You know, when my parents would take me to Kitty Land, and I'd go, "Hey, look!" And then my dad go, "Okay, all right, we'll go. We go over and you watch it." And I'm not quite even sure it was a horse that was running around the track with Maywood. Sometimes it was a guy pulling the sulky in front of him because they didn't have enough horses for the race.
Go, paint the zebra, it'll be fine. The number six slot.
Right.
He's 60 to 1.
He's 500 to 1.
Old mule.
As the purses went down, it was tough to get those horses to run.
It really was. There was almost like a Tim Burton Batman movie-esque quality to Maywood Park because you'd like look at it and you'd be like, I don't know what's going on inside that thing. Yeah. It's very
backstretch was fun.
Yeah. All right. I can't let this get away without talking about the drinks here because this is really good. Manly Cho is the bartender here, and you've made this is a you don't see this every day anymore. The Buddha glass.
I love it.
Yeah.
Call them Mr. Moy.
That's Mr. Moy.
Yes,
is that who it
Mr.
is?
Mr. Moy. Yes. They call it, yes.
I think I owe Mr. Moy money, as I seem to recall, again from Maywood Park. what is Mr. Moy? What's in Mr. Moy?
Mr. Moy, there's 151 rum, light rum, apricot brandy, and then Myers rum, grenadine, and orange juice.
That's a beautiful drink.
Say goodnight, Roll.
That's a Sean Spicer right there. My voice just
time
went up.
To
That's
give an
really
interview.
Good. I'll tell you.
Now you get an Uber with that, right? I mean, what are you supposed to do?
It's really good, though.
Yeah.
This is Skip calls this a revenue enhancer for the Emwood Park Police Department. All right, and then you got like a martini, like a Manhattan.
Got a pomegrannate martini.
Anna's been enjoying that one.
Very special.
This is not
like that
Cosmo, though.
No, it's not a Cosmo. No. It's a pomegrannate martini.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very good. All right.
Thank you.
And then you got a tiki.
The other one is called the zombie. So the zombie has like the zombie mix. We already have like another, again, 151 rum, dark rum, and then orange carousel, grenadine, and sweet and sour, and orange juice all mix.
Oh my God.
It's really good. Mr. Moy's starting to give me a look, though. Like, he's looking at me.
When Mr. Moy starts to talk back, that's when you know you got a problem right there. Well, you got these two 151 drinks here.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't
really
know.
Good.
Skip, I don't know what kind of town you're running over there in Elmwood Park.
Oh, my. Okay.
You got something going on.
I don't know what they're thinking over there.
Show Vergella really gets you. She puts a floater on it.
Especially on yours.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And that means something totally different at the R. Kelly studio.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Listen, I'm so happy for you guys. You've done what a great job. I mean, Elmwood Park has always been a very special place.
It is.
And people from there know it and all of that. But you've done an amazing job there, too, developing, making sure the businesses are taken care of and making sure North Avenue is vibrant and, you know, an economic hub that it needs to be and continue.
We're having fun doing it, too. That's the best part.
Skip, have you ever not had fun?
I can't remember the last time I didn't.
Yeah, I know. Look at him. I know. Look at the glint in his eye when he said that.
He's got a face that looks like he's having a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it's so much better to be a mayor than it is to be down at Springfield with all those jokes.
I can actually get stuff done.
Yeah.
How about that?
I know, it's just goofy. It's just goofy what goes on in there. All right, Skip Saviano, mayor of Elmwood Park, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Mayor. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us.
And Manly, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate it. Let's check in now with Kim, find out what's going on at the top of the hour.
Roe, forget gold, silver, and bronze when it comes to Olympic medals in 2020.
Your thought invention, your bleeding beer, but what's real? Over the hills, the mountains scream, so leave behind all your misery.
We're going to ask the natives coming up in just a few minutes. Live Music Friday, Ask the Natives is here. And I think we can all agree, those of us who are sitting here, they're in Studio G, which is across the hallway from us. And they were just rehearsing.
Yes.
And I had to leave the building to make a phone call. because it was they are so loud. We've never had loud like this.
I love that. Yeah, they brought some serious amps with them. Yes. Love that. Love it.
I can feel the rumble on the floor all the way over here in the sports studio.
It is amazing.
And yet they have a violin as part of their group. So I love that sound.
You just kind of heard that there. Mm-hmm. And they have a little ballady kind of a thing going. But wait till they turn the electric guitars on.
They shred.
And wait, what goes on? All right. Hey, the Knarble Wagon is out.
Yes, it is.
The fine folks from Elmwood Park have left the drinks here. It was actually a New Star China restaurant left the drinks, and they're particularly
we shouldn't drink
potent.
Them all.
Potent is right. We should not drink them all. We should because that's what we do here. We show always the best judgment when it comes to the alcohol consumption on this program.
Mm-hmm. As a rule,
we have a major thing to celebrate. Today.
Mm, okay. We do
need to celebrate that Mr. Kevin Powell has extended his deal. The WGN has made what I think is what they would qualify, they would say is the most generous offer they could possibly ever make at any given time, at any moment.
Bubby, listen to me.
But we get the show agent was able to work a deal for Mr. Powell to stay with us for the next number of years into the future.
Yes.
Fantastic.
So we want to congratulate
Kevin. Congrats, Kev. Well deserved.
His first...
Kevin, that's great.
Yes.
Some embarrassing moments like this, but thank you. Yes. It's a good feeling.
K-Pow's growing up.
Growing up. Baby darling, sweetheart, listen, I was able to get you $16 an hour.
A lengthy extension.
Now it's only 4 hours, 4 hours a day. So, I mean, but that's pretty good, don't you think?
Now we just need Manny Machado to sign a deal.
Well, that was the nice thing about Kevin. He was generous enough to leave a little bit on the table so that they could also still bring him Machado.
Yeah,
a lot of people were saying
it's
either
too much.
They were saying it's either Powell or Machado, and yet I believe it could be both.
He's a giver. See, this is the way
it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling.
And well deserved.
Favorite place on earth is right here.
I'm going to get you economic security. Jeez. I never like when they say that to you. Like, what does that mean? It's a 40-year contract, and they've got 2-hour outs.
Is Kevin like Manny Machado and is going to demand his whole family works here? Too? We love your mom because your mom makes great food.
Yeah, that's true. She could be the station chef.
I wondered initially when they said they were doing this. I said, "Is he related to Manny Machado?" And then
the White Sox retired.
Broadcast partners, it all works together.
Yeah,
huh?
It was very, very good. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Really
great
deserve
news.
It.
Good news.
It's amazing because there was a little signing ceremony earlier today, and the people were like, "I remember when you were an intern."
Oh gosh.
And so it's a very cool thing to watch, and it's a great GN story. It's the kind of thing that happens. People come in.
That's true.
They start
tradition of that.
Right.
Well, when
you started,
Steve Cochran used to call you disappointing.
That's
Kevin
true. He
on
still
the air.
Does. But
no,
he
cannot. It's impossible to call you that. Yeah. I mean, like, it's amazing.
It's a great place to work. Started as an intern. Now I'm here somehow.
Wave
somewhere.
The paper in front of him too when he does that. Too. Really?
Nah,
can't
nah,
hear
nah,
him
nah,
over this
nah.
document that I signed.
This ain't disappointing. Disappointing you.
Love Steve.
We did show.
Thank you. I wasn't expecting that. Now I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Congrats. You deserve it. All right, Richard Roper is here. And Richard Roper, let's start with What Men Want opening in theaters already.
Yes, we talked a couple days ago. Cold Pursuit and the Lego Movie are out. We're recommending both of them, one for the kids, one for the grown-ups. And then What Men Want stars Taraji P. Henson, who, of course, has become a Chicago regular through all the years of Empire playing Cookie. This is a reboot, reimagination of What Women Want, the Mel Gibson hit from almost 20 years ago. In this version, Taraji P. Henson plays a sports agent who, through the miracle of movies, develops the ability to read men's minds. Remember, in What Women Want, Mel Gibson could read what women were thinking, and he learned some valuable lessons. He could hear their thoughts. So, in this movie, she can now read men's minds. So, we got a clip here. This is a poker game in which she's playing poker, and you're going to hear Grant Hill, and then Tracy Morgan, and then Mark Cuban as she's hearing their real thoughts while they play poker.
$2,000.
Little lady, what you doing at the big boys table, huh?
I'm missing Real Housewives. I smell toast. Am I having a stroke? Wait, I have toast in my pocket. Whew.
Come on, somebody say they love Shark Tank.
I'll raise you another 3. Statistically, I've got 12 outs, 2 streets to come. Pretzels are delicious.
Ooh, Yahtzee.
You can't win this hand.
Too bad. Seriously? Damn. You better
think. There you have it. That's Shaquille, of course, Shaq. Pretzels are delicious. I love that Tracy Morgan, his thoughts are just being, I smell toast.
Am I having a stroke? I think it's exactly what that guy did.
I feel like, yeah, I might have ad-libbed some of the lines. So man. I'm giving 3 stars to what women want.
Wow.
To what men want. Which is good. Yeah, what men want. Right. It's actually really raunchy. It's R-rated. And Taraji really throws herself into this role. There are some sexy time scenes. And then there are some really kind of humiliating scenes. And then some touching scenes as well. Richard Roundtree plays her father. And that's actually a real touching thing because she hears her father's thoughts about her late mother. And he's thinking about how he thinks about her mother every time he looks at her. So she learns a lot about the way men think. And then, of course, you also learn valuable lessons about yourself as well. Wow. But
awesome.
It's pretty bawdy, kind of surprisingly so.
What women want. The Mel.
I know it's they should have called it something up.
The Mel Gibson movie was, you know, when you watch it now, it's ridiculous.
What do you mean?
Because just the
sexist?
Yeah,
I don't think I ever saw it.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. There's a few moments that are where they try to get touching, but then there's a lot of really stupid things.
Well, yeah, because he's playing the Mel Gibson type. Although my favorite line in the whole movie is in What Women Want. Marissa Tomei plays a Chicago coffee barista, and every day he comes in there and goes, "I'll have a grande if you know what I mean. Oh, give me a grande." Oh, and they finally sleep together. At that point, he could read her thoughts, and she goes, "Okay, lied about the grande."
So this one better than
about the same, about hit the and same. Miss, but the thoughts of the men.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Anthony Towns apparently can't get the Pina Colada song out of his head in his cameo. There's a lot of interesting things like that. Fun stuff.
Love it.
All right,
and we like Taraji too.
Yes.
Right. On the other side here, we are going to discuss something very, very important. Hold on, but there's one more film, right? That we have to.
That's it.
Oh, that's it?
It's the only one for me?
Well, remember we talked about Lego Movie, which is, we mentioned, it's fun for the parents and fun for the kids. That's going to be the big hit this weekend. We got some pretty tough weather coming in. If you're thinking about taking the kids and thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be bored, I'll fall asleep, the mom and dads and the guardians, you'll find it a lot of fun. And then Cold Pursuit, the Liam Neeson movie, in which he goes after everybody. And then going on a publicity tour that becomes a disaster.
I know what
red carpet.
I know what it is that I wanted to mention. We found some other mentions some of Liam Neeson's work, past work.
Oh, boy.
It seemed to sort of
do you have
line
audio
up
of that?
We went. Yes, we do have audio of that.
Good.
We went through all of the Liam Neeson films and things that, maybe you don't remember exactly being like that.
Oh,
and we'll play those for you on the other side. And live is it Friday. Ask the Natives is here. Wait until you hear this, my friends. Kim Gordon, what's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Row additional charges today for the man who allegedly shot and killed a teen at an Orland Park mall.
Pat Tomasulo explores love at a Southside no-tell motel. A very romantic episode of Man of the People, Saturday at 10 on WGN-TV.
There's no toilet paper in this bathroom!
Don't touch anything.
All right, we have got Live Music Friday coming your way here in just a second. Yeah. Ask the Natives are in Studio G, and they are ready to blow your ears off. So
they're incredible.
Keep your radio. We're gonna try to balance this so that it doesn't destroy anything in your car while you're listening to us, or your Alexa blows up, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what she just did right now when I just said that out loud. But I would before we do that, Richard Roper is here, and you know, as we know, the Liam Neeson movie is out, and he kind of screwed the pooch in the publicity run up to the movie by saying some inopportune things to a British interviewer, right?
All he had to do was just say what a joy it was to work with Laura Dern and Emmy Rossum, and you know, what a wonderful cast and a terrific director, and we had a great time on the set, on and off.
Instead, he bit on a question about revenge. How do you play revenge?
Different.
What do you tap into? Anything ever happened in your life?
I remember the time.
Oh, geez.
I wanted to kill them all.
There's something, I think it's in his autobiography.
Yeah, in his biography, they went back and found it. He said he was, quote, dying to stab somebody.
He admitted, when I look at him, I just want to stab him with a butter knife.
Or a cush.
He was such a nice dad in Love Actually.
I loved him in Love Actually. What happened to him when he was like courting Claudia Schiffer? Yeah. And it just, he seemed so
nice
normal.
Fuzzy sweaters, the big
turtlenecks. And like talking to his kid about falling in your love and your heart and your passion and not being afraid to
Oscar
love.
Schindler.
Well, we went back and we watched all of his films and we found that we should have been reading the tea leaves because this may have popped up. Like, remember the scene from Taken?
Brent has been thinking about relocating.
Really?
Yes, to Paris. He's been visiting houses. White or dark meat?
What color?
White or dark meat?
Black bastard.
or Clash of the Titans.
Your blood is mine, Perseus, and that makes you a god. It's time you came to Olympus and started living like one.
I'd rather die in the mud with those men than live forever as a god.
You black bastard. Man's entire existence is a gift of my grace.
people don't recall
what's
that
happening?
Scene, right? And then, but you'll remember this from Batman Begins.
Your parents' death was not your fault.
It was your black bastard.
Oh my goodness.
There's something he's tapping into there because the biography, they went back and he was talking about, you know, you're sitting at a restaurant table or in a traffic jam, you're waiting for an elevator, and there's an outward side of you that wants to present itself as normal, but then there's this inside of you that's dying to stab somebody.
I just want to stab them right through the eyeball, and I want to watch it come out and the blood drip out over my knife and my knuckles. Wait, am I saying that out loud, or am I saying that to a reporter right before I'm actually supposed to promote my new movie that they just paid me $15 million for?
Guaranteed to actually put it in print.
You're supposed to separate the fiction from the reality. Clint Eastwood just became the mayor of Carmel, you know?
Right.
Didn't go around and talk to a chair a little bit later on, okay.
Oh, that was
but
that.
He, you know, but he, good guy. Gentle fella in real life.
Really,
you know?
Artist. Not a guy who wants to kill somebody.
When The Rock is cuddly, when he's not killing people on screen.
You know, let's play some music. Let's get out of this.
Please.
Thank you.
Ask the Natives. Take it away.
Thank you.
Natives, but first we've got Kim's news coming your way in 2 minutes. All right, we have got Live Music Friday here, and we have an amazing band, Ask the Natives, and they've already broken three of the windows in the studio. That is how loud and electric and amazing these guys are. But you've got like both things going. Mm. And let me introduce the band really quickly here. The guitar and vocals, Jake Welch. You got Tristan Zeman on violin, Jackson Arias on bass, and Andrew Gallus is the drummer. And you got amazing. You guys won, if I am not mistaken here, and I am often mistaken. But you guys actually won some pretty amazing competitions early on in your career, and you're still early on in your career. How long have you guys been together?
About 4 years.
Wow. And it was a battle of bands, like a teen division, right, that you won, right, for Illinois?
Yeah, when we were younger.
And then and now you go out to that the Arcata Theater in St. Charles. Ever heard of that?
Love that
place.
You guys
ever heard of that place? And they were doing that that Rockstar Roulette, and out of 30 bands,
mm-hmm.
they won the whole thing.
How about that?
That is congratulations on that. Thank you. Really cool.
We gotta say a big thank you to Susie from 1126 Entertainment, who put the whole thing on over there, and Ron Anesti also, who kind of runs the show over the over the Arcata. So
Let me just say, Ron Anesti runs more than just that show, my friend.
He runs
the town. Okay,
he runs a lot of shows, if you know what I mean. That's a guy. This is one guy you do not want to you want to make Ron Anesti happy, and he will make you happy, right?
In
terms
how it goes.
Of if you're in the rock star business, he's.
I'm curious
everybody.
So when you said when we were younger, how old are you now?
I just turned 21.
Okay, that's what I thought when we were younger.
God.
Back in the day when we were younger,
because
you're 21.
But there's alcohol being served, so they better be 21. You're all 21.
Well, of course, everyone's 21.
We carded everybody. That's what they did. That's what we do here. All right, and coming up, you're going to be at Reggie's Rock Club on February 24th. The Arcata, back at the Arcata, where it didn't really begin for you, but where it got real great for you on February 28th, and then Board and Barrel in Naperville on April 12th. Where you want to play? Oh, you also have a new album coming out too, right?
Yes, we do.
When is that?
That is being created as we speak, and it is coming out soon.
We got a hard deadline on ourselves, early April, so hold us to it.
All right,
we haven't started it yet.
Yes,
we have.
That's right.
Did you get that?
Right. Did you? What's with your homework? I know, I got it.
No, we got a hard thing going on. It's all deadline.
I will have it done Monday. It's fine. And it's actually really cool. Funeral for the Living is the title of the album, right?
Yeah, we got to give credit to Andrew, the drummer. He's a man of few words, but when the words come out, they're pretty good sometimes. So.
Well, I can tell. Well, the writing is really fascinating.
It's so good. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know a band is great when they are wise beyond their years.
Yeah,
right.
And they're tapping into something we can all sort of connect to.
Right. Whether you're six or 60, mm-hmm. you know, it sort of works. And I'm both. I would just mm-hmm. like to point out
you do act both.
Yes, mm-hmm. it's really very true. All right. So what's the song you want to do now?
Ride the Moon.
Ride the Moon. Take it away. It's Ask the Natives.
Ask the Natives.
More Ask the Natives on Live Music Friday. But first, I want to check in with Andrea, I suppose, has got the will tell us what's happening here in the newsroom coming up. I'm being told, but maybe not. I don't know. You tell me.
It is.
Okay.
Roa Judge is letting R. Kelly continue to work out of his Chicago studio. We'll have the details on that story and much, much more coming up at 7.
Is it, I think it's me.
Mm-hmm.
I have had this problem all week. I've just been one step behind on whatever's happening on the radio show because we've got so many interesting things happening in the studio during the commercial breaks.
It's true.
It's just a lot going on.
A lot of activity.
Here. Yes. You never know. Hey, we got the Stories That Matter with Andre Dallas at the top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Stay tuned for that. But it is Live Music Friday, and we got a young band from the Western suburbs that I promise you will be on the lips of many Americans before this is all said and done. It's called Ask the Natives. They're called Ask the Natives, and they're absolutely amazing. I mean, it's sort of like an old school kind of thing happening here. Mm-hmm. Who are your musical influences? It's not Ariana Grande, I can tell.
Britney Spears? No.
No. No. Definitely not. Yeah. Mm.
Oh, man, I'd say just old stuff in general. Just old rock, and that whole movement was super cool, and I've always been into it since I was a kid. And I think we've just been trying to incorporate that as much as we can. So,
but yeah, you guys got to hear Jake play the guitar. He plays 60s, 70s, the blues like Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of what I'm hearing. I'm hearing Stevie everything Ray. From the Allman Brothers all the way up through Zeppelin into the Black Crowes, Pearl Jam. I'm hearing a little bit of everything in there.
Me too.
And I'm just like, and I'm just amazed that, again, see, this is the, you can always tell. You can always tell when a band is going to be great or musicians are going to be great because they're timeless.
Yeah,
and you guys are timeless
and full of talent.
And I believe the drummer is
12.
12.
Yeah. So if you want an ID check, there are drinks in the
he's
building.
He's not actually 12.
Okay. Is he 13? What is he? Is he
14 and a half.
14. Okay. Like, well, you know, Steve Winwood was like 14 when he was in traffic. Right? I mean, that's how that goes. All right. What do you want to do for us next?
We're going to play a song called When I Want To.
All right. And don't forget, you can see Ask the Natives February 24th at Reggie's Rock Club, on the 28th at Arcata Theater, main stage in St. Charles, and Board and Barrel in Naperville on April 12th. And if people want to find them, you just their website, askthenatives.com, or you know, on all the socials at Ask the Natives. Very, very great. Take it away, fellas.
I can leave when I want to. 'Cause I can leave. team pride at the Chicago Honor Show.